Maximus, burning with divine love, unceasingly repeated that he had caught a glimpse of heaven. He affirmed on oath that at the moment when the martyrs were struck by the sword, he had seen the angels of God, resplendent as suns, and he beheld the souls of Valerian and Tiburtius leave their bodies like brides adorned for a nuptial festival. The angels received them and bore them to heaven upon their wings. While saying these words, he shed tears of joy. Many pagans, after listening to him, were converted, renouncing their idols, and believed in the one only God, creator of all things. The news of his notary's conversion soon reached Almachius. He was doubly irritated, because this courageous example had been followed not only by the household of Maximus, but also by many other persons. The notary's fate was soon decided. He was not beheaded as the two patricians had been. The prefect caused him to be beaten to death with whips loaded with lead, which was the punishment of persons of inferior rank. The martyr courageously rendered up his soul to God, and Cecilia buried him with her own hands. She chose a sepulchre near those of her husband and brother, and ordered that a phoenix should be sculpted on the tombstone, in remembrance of the allusion made by Tiburtius to this marvelous bird when explaining to Maximus the resurrection of the body. Meanwhile, Almachius had ordered the confiscation of all the property belonging to Valerian and Tiburtius. In so doing, he had acted conformably to the Roman law. By his orders, search was made for their goods, but the charitable and prudent Cecilia had already distributed them to the poor, thus sending all her treasures before her on the eve of her departure for her celestial country. Cecilia was so well known in Rome by her noble birth, her husband's death, and that of his brother, had been accompanied by so many remarkable circumstances, and her profession of Catholicism was so public that the prefect of Rome felt it was absolutely necessary to require her to sacrifice to the gods of the empire. Nevertheless, he at first showed some hesitation. He would have been glad to pause in his cruel course and to avoid shedding the blood of his noble lady, admired by all who approached her for her beauty, modesty, and singular virtue. Hoping to avoid the publicity of a trial which might end tragically, and which would certainly compromise still more the responsibility of a magistrate acting in the emperor's absence and without his orders, he sent officers of justice to the virgin's dwelling with the proposal that she should privately sacrifice to the gods, trusting to obtain from her a compliance with his wishes, sufficient to shield his honor as a judge, without obliging him to summon her before his public tribunal. The offers entered Cecilia's dwelling and laid before her the prefect's proposition. The virgin easily perceived the emotion which they experienced in gazing upon her gentle and dignified countenance. Respect, deference, and evident embarrassment in fulfilling their mission were apparent in their words and even in their attitude. Cecilia replied to their proposal with heavenly calmness. "Citizens and brothers," she said, "hear me. You are the magistrate's officers, and in the depths of your hearts you despise his impious conduct. I am only too happy to suffer all kinds of torments for the confession of Jesus Christ, for I have not the slightest attachment to this life. But I pity you, who, still in the flower of your youth, are condemned to obey the orders of an unjust judge." The officers of Almachius could scarcely refrain from weeping at these words, so distressing did it seem to see this young, noble, and talented patrician lady actually longing for death. They besought her not to sacrifice so many advantages. The virgin interrupted them. "To die for Christ is not to sacrifice one's youth, but to renew it. It is giving vile dross for gold, exchanging a mean and miserable dwelling for a magnificent palace, relinquishing a perishable thing, and receiving in return an immortal gift. If any one should offer you today a large amount of gold, upon the sole condition that you should give in return the same weight of a baser metal, would you not show the greatest eagerness in making so advantageous an exchange? Would you not urge your parents, associates, and friends to share your good fortune? If any one of you should try to induce you, even with tears, not to accept such an offer, would you not consider him insane? And yet, result of all this eagerness would simply be the exchanging of a vile metal for an equal weight of another. More precious, it is true, but still a mere metal. Jesus Christ, our God, is not satisfied with giving weight for weight. He returns 100-fold for all offered him, and adds to it eternal life. The officers, completely conquered by this discourse, were unable to conceal their emotion. In the enthusiasm of her zeal, Cecilia mounted upon a marble stand, and in an inspired voice exclaimed, "Do you believe what I have told you?" Their reply was unanimous. "Yes, we believe that Christ, the Son of God, who possesses such a servant, is the true God." "Go then," Cecilia resumed, "and tell the miserable Almachius that I ask a delay, that I beg he will defer my martyrdom for a short period. Then return here, and you will find him who will render you participants of eternal life." The officers, already Christians in their hearts, carried Cecilia's message to the prefect, who, by a dispensation of divine providence, deferred summoning the Virgin before his tribunal. Cecilia immediately sent a message to Pope Urban, informing him of her approaching martyrdom, and of the new conversions which she had effected. Besides the officers of Almachius, a number of persons of every age, sex, and condition, principally from the Trans-Tiberian region, touched by divine grace, ardently desired baptism. Saint Urban was desirous of coming himself to reach so rich a harvest, and to bless the heroic virgin who would in a few days extend to him from heaven the palm of martyrdom. The presence of the holy pontiff was a great happiness for Cecilia. The baptism was celebrated with much splendor. More than 400 persons received the grace of regeneration. Cecilia, desirous of preventing the confiscation of her goods, employed the last hours of her life in making over to one of the converts, named Gordian, all claims to her house, that it might henceforth serve as an assembly for the Christians and increase the number of the Roman churches.